wonderful to have you back.
Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us give Jesus a giant hand of praise. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. I didn't ask you to clap for this African man. I said for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anytime you get ready to do anything for the Lord, you've got to do it the best way you can. Amen? Because you don't want to give God anything secondhand. Because he did not give us secondhand Jesus. Amen. I'm about to get excited already. Praise God. Well, it's such a joy for me to be here. Thank God for this wonderful opportunity. I thank God for your pastors and for what God is doing through them and the vision God has given them. I always tell people that one man's vision or one woman's vision can be distributed by a team of willing people. And I know that God has brought you here and has connected you to this family to be the instrument through which the vision that he has given your pastors can be distributed and have impact in the people that you come in contact with. So you're not just here to fill a number. You are of significant importance and you have a part to play. What you want to do is to locate your portion and make sure you maximize that portion and serve God with everything in you. Amen. There's no better thing that you can do for yourself than serving God. Amen. You really sounded like you like that. Let me try one more time. God is a God of a second chance. I say there's nothing you can do better for yourself than serving God. Amen. I thought so. Hallelujah. Well, we have lots of grounds to cover this morning. You chose a good morning to come to church. You're not going to be disappointed because the word of God is going to be preached to you. Anytime you hear the word of God, something is supposed to happen to you. And I want you to open your hearts and be ready to receive this word. Let your heart be fertile grounds for this word to fall upon and germinate and grow and be cultivated. And purpose that the word will bear much fruit in your life. One of the greatest tragedy in church are people who hear the word and fail to execute what they hear. The only part of the Bible that will work for you and me is the part you do. Let me try it over here in English. I say the only part of the Bible that will work for you is the part you do. So whichever part you do, that is what will materialize in your life. How many of you know that you want everything God says to be something tangible and something that you experience in your life? Amen? You see, you and me are God's only contact in the earth. He's counting on you to be strong. He's counting on you to be vigilant. He's counting on you to be prayed up. He's counting on you in order for him to fulfill his vision in the earth. You cannot afford to be weak. I'm getting excited. Let's pray and let's get into this word. Amen. You're glad you came to church? Yes. Pretend to be glad. Father, we give you praise. We thank you so much for your goodness this morning. What a privilege, what an honor to be able to come in this place as the people of God, knowing full well that it's only by the blood of Jesus that we can approach your throne boldly, knowing that we are accepted, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Thank you for your presence in this place. I ask you right now to tune our emotions to yours. Tune our hearts, our minds, our feelings to yours. cause your word to have a powerful effect in our lives. I pray that every ear be anointed to hear. Every heart be anointed to be receptive. Use your word in every life in this place. Be glorified, we pray. I decrease, increase in me. May your people hear the voice behind this word this morning. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we purpose to be doers of the word and not just hearers. We give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor. We worship you, Majesty. We worship you, Holy One of Israel. Great Jehovah, Abba Father. We are so appreciative for all that you've done for us and all that you're yet to do. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody who loves the Lord say, Amen. You have your Bible. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Anybody who knows me, I want to keep you scripture bound so that when you leave here, you don't say, Jimmy said, but you say, God said, because you're hearing the word of God. Amen. So that you don't take issue with Jimmy. I'm just reading the script and acting out the script. So if you're to take issue, you take issue with the author of the words we're about to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 15 and verse 13 says, Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read it one more time. Now, when? Pretend to be alive when you're responding, please. When? So whatever we are reading now means it is the will of God for these to come to pass in your life and my life, not tomorrow. Now. Not next week. Not 2 months later or a year later. Now. That's clear. That's safe. The platform is safe. God is clear when he wants this to happen to you. So you cannot postpone it. God says, this is my will and my purpose for you now. Now it says that now may the God of hope. Say, my God. We're going to get there. Say, my God is a God of hope. Now, you need to realize that if your God is a God of hope, then that means you and me, being that we belong to this God who is the God of hope, we are exempted from hopelessness. Amen. That's good enough to shout about, isn't it? That means there's no such thing as a hopeless situation to a child of God. The situation can only be hopeless because you kept the God of hope out of the equation. But the good news is you don't have to keep him out of the equation. You can include him in the equation, and no matter how hard, difficult, impossible, bleak the situation might be, might look, God can turn that hopeless situation into a hopeful situation. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, my God is a God of hope. Now, we need to differentiate between the hope we commonly use in church and Bible hope. There is a big difference between the hope that Christians use in everyday language and Bible hope. You see, you can tell somebody when they're facing a situation and you tell them, they share it with you, and you tell them, you know, God can turn and wills to turn that situation for you around. And guess what they say? I hope so. That is not Bible hope. Are you hearing me? What they're literally saying is, I would want it to be that way, but I'm not sure if it's going to turn out that way. Now, Bible hope is not resting on uncertainty. Bible hope rests on certainty. Are you hearing me? When you say, I hope so, you are saying, I would want it to be that way, but I don't know if it's going to be turning out that way. When you come to the Bible hope, you see, hope has to come out of what God says. And what God says, you can take it to the bank. Are you hearing me? What God says will work in every situation, in every season, in every condition. What God says will always work in spite of how it may look by your eye. What you want to do is to believe what God says. Are you hearing me? Now, it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. Somebody say all. Say A double L, all. So how much is left after all? Let me try one more time in English over here. How much is left after all? So it's apparently clear that the will of God for every one of his children is to be filled with all the joy there is. He says, fill you with all joy and peace. Notice what he says, in believing. Fill you with all joy. Don't miss this. I want you to catch this, because this is where we miss it. He says, he wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Notice what it does not say. It does not say he wants to fill you with all joy and peace in receiving. So, the problem with most Christians, they are waiting to receive in order to get in hope and peace and joy. And God is saying, you're going to wait a while. Because when you come to my family, it's only by my terms. I'm getting happy now. I said, when you join God's family, it's not on your terms anymore. It's only by his terms. He decides the terms you are to function on or operate. He says, if you want to receive, you have to be in joy and peace in order to receive. Now, there are many people who go through situations and circumstances. Right now, even right now as I'm talking to you, you are facing a situation, you are facing a circumstance, you are facing a challenging situation, whatever it might be. And you've allowed the situation to rob you of your joy and peace. And when you allow that to happen to you, you're going to stay in that situation a long time. Why? Because God does not function in a joyless environment. God says, in order for me to intervene and participate and change your situation, joy and peace have got to be present. Now, the thing about God, he will never require of you and me something that he has not already given us what it takes to produce what he requires. Are you hearing me? He is not an unjust God. He is not an unfair God. He's a God of order, and he is always systematic in everything that he does. He has no oops moments. Nothing catches God by surprise. Are you hearing me? The situation you're facing did not catch God by surprise. It may be a surprise to you, but not to God. Now, God says, you want me to change the situation. You want me to come and turn the situation around. He says you have to shift over into joy and peace. Now, how are we going to get joy and peace? The Bible says in John chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus said, it's in red. Jesus said, these words have I spoken to you, so that your joy may be full. Mm-hmm. These words have I spoken to you, so that your joy may be full. These words have I spoken to you, so that your joy may be full. That means the source of the joy that God requires you and me to be in is the Word of God. So in order for me to live a life that is full of joy, I have to maintain a consistent diet on the words of the Master, because it's the words of God that induces joy on the inside of me. Somebody say amen. I said, somebody say amen. You see, when you leave the word, you are going to get a joy leak. And the enemy's strategy is to strip you of joy and peace. And when he keeps you in that corner of peace, no peace, and no joy, he's got you exactly where he wants you to be. Are you hearing me, God's people? Many of you had lost your joy, but it's time for you to get your joy back. Somebody said, African man, I hear you good. You are preach. I like your clothes too. But listen, how am I going to get the joy? You're going to get the joy out of the word. Are you hearing me? Now, what you want to know is the difference between joy and happiness. Joy is not happiness. And happiness is not joy. You see, happiness is over lower level. Joy is of a high level. You're going to catch it in a minute. In order to be happy, you need a comfortable environment. Now, when it comes to joy, joy is independent of environment. You don't need a comfortable environment to be in joy. Why? Because joy is supernatural. It comes from the word of God, which is the incorruptible seed of God, which does not fail, doesn't rot. It always works. Are you hearing me, God's people? So I don't need happy happenings to be in joy. I can be facing the hardest, most challenging situation and still maintain my joy. How? By not losing contact with the word. Are you hearing me? Because the word of God is going to see you through any hard, dark situation. But you've got to hold on to it. Fasten yourself to what God says. Because it's what God says that is going to give you a turnaround, not what you're facing. The reason why most people lose their joy is because they have turned their eyes off what God says and they've turned them onto what they are facing. And as a result, they are losing their joy and peace. Now, I told you that joy is a spiritual force. Over there in Galatians, I won't have you to turn there because of time. But I want you to write the scriptures down so that in your time, you can go back and meditate them and tell the Holy Spirit, Father, speak to me some more about this. And he will do more preaching than the African man. And you'll be at a better place when he preaches to you than you are right now. Are you hearing me? So write it down. In your devotional time, lay down there. As Holy Spirit, speak to me some more about this. And watch him unveil, unload. And you will be having a supernatural download into your spirit. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, with joy you will draw waters out of the wells of salvation. With joy. It didn't say with depression. It didn't say with a pity party. It didn't say when you feel sorry for yourself. It didn't say when you are sad. It says, with joy you will draw waters out of the wells of salvation. With joy. Now, what does water signify? It signifies the word of God. And sometimes it's because we are washed by the, we are cleaned by the washing of the water, by the word of God. But it also signifies the Holy Spirit. It also signifies the anointing. Are you hearing me? So he says that it is with joy that you will draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Joy is necessary. Are you hearing me? It is not optional. If you are going to benefit from the wells of salvation, if you need peace, you're going to draw peace out of the wells of salvation with joy. If you need healing, you're going to draw healing out of the wells of salvation with joy. Are you hearing me, ladies and gentlemen? Whatever it might be that you're looking for, it's going to require joy in order to draw it out of the wells of salvation. Now, the Bible says in Galatians, over there where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit in 5:22 there. You see, you were not born again. I was not born again without joy. In other words, we were not born again with spiritual birth defects. You were not born again without joy. You were born again in your recreated spirit. There are spiritual forces that are in there. The force of patience, the force of love, the force of peace, the force of joy, the force of faith, the force of perseverance. All these spiritual forces were designed by God and he deposited in your spirit and my spirit so that those forces will be able to put us over any situation that we find ourselves in. But most Christians don't know how to activate these spiritual forces to work on their behalf. And God says to you that you've got it on the inside of you. But what you need to do is to learn how to draw it out. I said, how to draw it out. Are you with me, church? I said, are you with me? The Bible says in Psalm 16 and verse 11 that in his presence, there's a little bit of joy. No, it says, in his presence, there is fullness. Fullness of joy. Didn't Jesus say, these words have I spoken to you so that your joy may be full? God wants every one of his children to walk in and live and function and operate in maximum joy.
These words have I spoken to you so that your joy may be full. He doesn't want you to have a quarter joy. He doesn't want you to have a three quarters joy. He wants you to have joy overflowing. Are you hearing me? Why? Because as a child of God, you must practice the presence of God. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, the pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you hearing me? It goes, Psalms 100 says, make a joyful shout noise, all ye lands, serve the Lord with sadness. Maybe I have an African Bible. Serve the Lord with gladness. In other words, get happy. If you're serving God, get happy. You can't say, I'm serving God sad. You are serving you. Because he says, if you claim to be serving me, these are the condition. You've got to be happy. You've got to be full of joy serving me. Serve the Lord with gladness. The world is looking for happy Christians, joyful Christians, that you have too much joy in you, that those who don't have can come to you and borrow some. That when you walk, joy is oozing out of you. That God put his church in the earth, Christians, so that you may put smiles on people's faces. We cannot win the world sad. The world is sad. I said we cannot win the world. That's part of the reason that many people are not coming to the Lord, because they met Christians. Let me say it in English. Some people haven't come to the Lord because they met Christians. Unfortunately, they were sad Christians. You see, every time as a Christian you lose your joy is because your word level has gone low. So what you need to do to bring your joy back up to the brim is to elevate your word level. Increase the word level. Preach it, African man. I like it. Give me five. I need to give you an offering. Jesus' name. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say, what was that? That was somebody who enjoying his preaching, giving himself an offering and a high five. If nobody likes this preaching, guess what? I do. I'm having a good time up here. And anybody who knows this African man, I can have church all by myself. What do you mean? I can preach and amen myself. I can give an offering and receive it. Somebody said, how do you do it? I just did it over there. Let me try one more time in Jesus' name. God is a God of increase. Amen. Somebody say, it's time. Say it like you mean it. It's time to get full of joy. Shake your neighbor by the shoulder. Don't kill them. Just shake them a little bit. Say, neighbor, I'm glad you're my neighbor. It's about time you get happy. Get happy. Somebody's African man, you don't know what I'm going through. That's why you need to get happy. If you're planning to get out of your situation or God to give you a turnaround, you need to switch and shift into joy and peace. Why are you doing that? Because you know full well that he has promised something. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of some of them. Somebody say, all of them. Now, if you really believe that, you see, one of these days, Pastor Linda, Christians are going to believe the Bible. One of these days, Christians are going to believe the Bible and start acting like it is so. When you believe the word, your life takes on a new dimension. You no longer operate at an average level. Your life will be propelled into new realms of existence. You take on a new perspective towards life. You believe many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Somebody say, all. Have you picked up on the alls of God? He delivers you out of them all. He wants you to have all joy. He wants you to have all peace. He wants you to have all healing, everything, all. Now, when you believe that he delivereth me out of everything that I face in life, you can't help it but get happy when you're in trouble. Why? Because that's an opportunity for God's delivering power to show up and change the situation. But Christians are skillful in getting sad. Somebody say, it's time to get happy. If there's anybody in the whole world who is entitled to joy, guess who it is? You. You are entitled to getting happy and being happy. Why? You've got a reason. You are never hopeless. The only time that you and me would ever be hopeless is when you keep God out. When you bring God in the equation, everything you need to. Are you hearing me, church? I said, are you hearing me, church? We will attract the world when the world sees smiles on our faces, even when we're going through hard times. Because what difference does it make? If you show up in the hospital, your loved one is sick, you saved, you the one in church, how great is our God. Woo! Sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, we see how great. You are the one who sings how great is your God. You show up in the hospital ward, where your loved one is, you look to the patient, you cry. Those who don't sing how great walk in, they look at the patient, they cry. Who will help who? You need to walk in there and leave out, how great is our God. I told you. One of these days, Christians are going to believe the Bible. Last year, almost a year ago, my wife and I ran the pictures. Our daughter got sick. I was out of the country. And she slept so fast, she went into a coma. And I just landed in Melbourne to do a meeting. If you could run the picture so that they may see the condition she was in. Just a testimony of the wand of God's grace. She slipped into a coma. Her lungs failed, collapsed. Could no longer oxygenate the blood. So they had to put her on the machine where they could only oxygenate her blood externally. And I was here. My wife calls me. I was in Melbourne. I had 3 weekends in Melbourne. My wife calls me and tells me what's going on. And I said, well, honey, we need to leave the Bible. We preach it. It's time to leave it.
I asked her, do you want me to come home? She said, no. I said, go, girl. That's my girl. Faith is talking now. I said, she said, you stay there. That's what the devil would want you to do. You stay there. I will stay here. Let's get to work. No time of getting sad. Why? Sadness has never changed any situation. No time to get depressed and feel sorry for myself or get on the phone to call professional mourners to mourn with me. It has never changed anybody's situation. I had to switch into joy and peace while I had those pictures on my laptop. I would go to the meeting, preach, people get saved, people get healed, walk into my hotel room. That's the first thing. Bam. And the devil is talking now. If your God is great, how come your daughter is in that situation? I said, shut your mouth, devil. Don't ever allow the devil to do all the talking. You need to out-preach him. You know he preaches, but he preaches not good news, bad news. So you need to counterattack the devil with good news. And you have 66 books of good news to slap the devil upside the head. He tells you your daughter is not going to make it. You pull out Psalms 118. She shall not die but live and declare the works of God. We fought a good fight of faith. And as I'm speaking now, she's out, completely healed, restored. Everything the doctor said will happen to her. She is totally and completely healed. To God be the glory. Why did I share those pictures with you? Sometimes you think we just preach, but we don't live. What I'm preaching to you, if it doesn't work for me, I need to sit down and shut up. I'm wasting your time. What I'm sharing with you is life. It'll work in any given situation. Have faith in God. Take the word of God. No matter what you might be going through this morning, God is more than able. Pastor Linda read the scripture that will blow hell wide open. Are you hearing me? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, super abundantly, far above all, you are able to ask or even think. He is your God. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you better not mess with me. That's my God. It doesn't matter what you might be going through. You have to make a decision of giving your life and your situation to the Lord and fight a good fight of faith. God is faithful. He will turn it around for you. Do you receive this word this morning? Let's give the Lord one more hand of praise. Hallelujah. Now, I wouldn't want to give the mic back to Pastor Linda without giving some of you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus. You might be here this morning. All that I'm sharing is foreign to you. But this will work for you. And the way it begins is by giving Jesus and making Jesus the Lord of your life. Give your heart to Jesus this morning. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He cares for you. He's interested in you. He's not mad at you because of what you've done in the past. He's madly in love with you. You are the reason he hung on that tree, shed his blood to save you. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. Give your heart to Jesus. Maybe you're here. You once knew the Lord, but along the way you got distracted and you backslid. And now you've been living in a backsliding state. This is your moment. Rededicate your life to God. His arm of love is always reaching out for you.
He's got the best plan for your life. Jesus comes to you in the day of salvation, just like right now, to cleanse you, to forgive you, to lift you, and to restore dignity and honor to you and give you purpose for life. You're not here by accident or by coincidence. You're here because God wanted you to have another opportunity to make things right with God. Every head bow, every eye close. If you're here this morning, you say, Jimmy, I'm the one God has been talking to me to through your voice. I know my heart is not right with God. If my heart stopped right now, I'm not ready to meet God, but I want to be ready. Jimmy, I want to rededicate my life to God. I haven't been serious with God. I've been playing games with God, but I want to be serious. I want to rededicate and give my all to God. Would you pray with me? I will be delighted to. Wherever you are, all I want to do is to locate where you are. If you're the person, you're saying, Jimmy, pray with me. I'm not saved. I want to be saved. Jimmy, pray with me. I'm not sure if my heart stopped right now. I'm ready to meet God, but I want to be ready. Jimmy, pray with me. I want to rededicate my life to God. If you're that person, wherever you are, just slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Raise your hand up. If you're the person saying, I need to be saved, I need to be born again, I need to rededicate my life to God. Anybody in this room, by the show of hands, anybody in this room, you want to be saved. You want to, I see that hand. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. Your heart is not right with God. You want to make things right with God. You want to rededicate your life to God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Slip up your hand. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. He's interested in you. And he has a plan for your life. Anybody else? By the show of hands. Praise God. Father, we give you praise and we thank you for your word. I ask you now, by the help of the Holy Ghost, that you would take this word, cause it to be embedded in the consciousness of these people. Give them a plan to execute by your grace what they just heard. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's give Jesus one more giant hand of praise. Hallelujah. Now,